Well, it's somewhat different land because we talk about books a lot here. So, but on Tuesdays, we take a little time and say to our wonderful independent bookseller friends, hey, you guys are in the trenches. You know what's out there. You know what's exciting. And they come and report to us. We're very excited today. Jackie Callahan of the Golden Notebook on Tinker Street in Woodstock is here to give us the dispatches from the trenches of Woodstock and tell us what's on the shelves that we should be reading. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to have you here as always. And I know you wrote yesterday and I have a lot of books.
There's so many books. There's always so many books. It's overwhelming. And this time of year especially is when all the big titles are hitting the shelves. So where I would like to start, actually, in this week before elections, when all the political consultants are getting their money and getting their knives out for a last flurry of negative ads, we have All the Truth is Out by Matt Bai, The Week Politics Went Tabloid. And this is actually about the Gary Hart scandal when he was running for president. And as many of our 1987.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was running for president. He was a two-term senator from Colorado. He was deep into politics. He'd been a political consultant with George McGovern. Hard to find a better candidate in many, many ways. He cared. He was smart. And he had a personal life like many politicians, some politicians of the day, where it was fairly well known that he was like a bit of a ladies' man. And during the campaign...
Didn't he run against Walter Mondale?
No, he didn't run against... In the Democratic primary.
In the primary. Isn't that when the trouble emerged?
But it was 87. Yeah, he was like, let me just sit in May 1987. Colorado Senator Gary Hart, an articulate, dashing, reform-minded Democrat.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. That's all right. I'm working on the time.
Go ahead. And so anyway, so he... You know, it isn't that he challenged the press to find stuff out about him, but he kind of said, you know, look, I'm pretty boring. Follow me around. And well, they sort of did. And he had a weekend off and went to Florida and went on a boat called the Monkey Business and kind of met up with a woman named Donna Rice, who was very beautiful. And reporters from Miami Herald, it isn't the Miami Herald, but it was a Florida newspaper, and then later the Washington Post got a hold of this story, and there was one of Donna Rice's friends leaked a picture to these reporters. But what this book does is it tells about the scandal in real time, but it really talks about the fact, is this the moment when presidential politics, when politics changed and tabloid journalism really entered as being a major player in the conversation about politicians and in elections? And Matt Bai, in some ways, no stranger to sensational reporting himself, I would say, but a pretty good reporter, does a really, really good job making this a very interesting story to read and making you really think about what happens. He has extensive interviews with Gary Hart in this, and it's a really good book.
Matt Bai, All Is Out, or The Truth.
The Truth. The Truth. All the truth is out.
All the truth is out.
The week politics went tabloid.
There's kind of a Brady Bunch pattern on the front of the book of words and boxes. I didn't know quite how I should read that. I apologize.
Yes, that's the effect of tabloid journalism on our eyesight.
All right.
Okay, the next book actually just hit the shelves yesterday, and this is The Secret History of Wonder Woman by Jill Lepore. Jill Lepore is an American history professor at Harvard University and a fabulous and productive writer for The New Yorker, as well as just writing books. And so this is The Secret History of the Comic of Wonder Woman, and it was initially published in the mid-40s, and her creator was a gentleman by the name of William Moulton Marston, and he was a complicated character, Joe. He invented the lie detector test. He once belonged to a sex cult. He lived most of his life in a very unconventional sort of home relationship with two women and children. This book sort of takes apart all the layers that led to the creation of Wonder Woman, and it has strong roots in feminism, and particularly the the suffragette movement of the early 20th century, as well as the birth control movement as championed and established by Margaret Sanger. It's a beautifully complex, interesting, culturally rich book. I love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And Jill Lepore was working more with the Margaret Sanger papers at the Smith Library and kind of stumbled into this whole thing, across it, and then it became the story. And so it's a fascinating investigation of how she kind of backed into the story.
It is. And she's such an adept writer. She kind of is able to make us aware of all of that while she's writing about what she's writing about. Like, she's such a nimble, amazing writer.
Very well done. It's The Secret History of Wonder Woman by Jill Lepore, which is just out.
So now turning to two slightly graphic books. The first is by one of my favorite writers and artists, Myra Kalman, and it's called My Favorite Things. And this is a book to be held in the hand and to be held in the heart, I would say. Its genesis was that she was asked to curate and produce a book on a selection of objects from the Cooper Hewitt Museum.
Right.
And in doing this, And in producing this book, she looked at some of her favorite things. And I love what she says at the beginning of this book. She says, "The pieces that I chose were based on one thing, only a gasp of delight. Isn't that the only way to curate a life, to live among things that make you gasp with delight?" The thing that I love about Myra Kalman is that she takes us in the moment of the moment of the moment, and she's able to make us look at things that are ordinary and appreciate the extraordinary in them. One of my favorite pages in this book, and this is when she's talking about things from her own life, is a picture of her mother on her wedding day with her sister. And she says, "My mother was completely beautiful. Everyone was in love with her. If Tolstoy had been alive, he would have loved her madly. So would have Gogol, Kafka, Nabokov. Who else? Balzac, of course. Dostoevsky, why not? Our gentle neighbor, the man with the crooked thumb, yes, he loved her too." And I feel like that is just, it's such a beautiful book. Please buy this for one of your favorite people for the upcoming holidays.
I just, Myra Kalman will be on the show on the opening of the Cooper Hewitt exhibit, and it's fascinating. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that, they're doing the whole show at the Cooper Hewitt.
Yes.
And they're not including any of her art. And I thought, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
I said, that seems like that would be a better exhibit. And she said, I didn't have anything to do with it.
I bet they'll be selling the book in the lobby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My Favorite Things by Myra Kalman. And it's, as you said, a beautiful book.
It is.
It's really beautifully put together.
It is. So this week, Friday, Halloween, big deal in Woodstock. If you're in Woodstock on Halloween wearing your costume, you might see that our store is going to be dressed up, and we are dressing it up a little bit on the theme of a new book put out by one of my favorite learning to read imprints, Toon Graphics, and it is a story that many of us know very well. It's Hansel and Gretel, as told by Neil Gaiman, and with art by Lorenzo Mattotti. I think that's how you'd pronounce your name. And the illustrations are incredibly dark and scary. This book comes in two formats, a deluxe, kind of super cool, big, read aloud format, and a slightly smaller one that you could still read aloud to your kids from, or to other adults. And Hansel and Gretel is just, it's a relentlessly creepy, disturbing story. it really is. And I recently came across the Little Golden Books version of Hansel and Gretel that I had when I was little. And I felt a little unsettled by some of those sweetly, treacly illustrations. It's a scary story. One of the things that I like in this telling, it's told beautifully, but at the end there's a sort of addendum which talks about the history of Hansel and Gretel and its genesis as a grim fairy tale and some of the versions that it traveled through. So Hansel and Gretel, get it for Halloween.
Hansel and Gretel, Neil Gaiman, and who put this?
This is Toon.
Oh, neat.
Toon Books. And
nice.
And also these illustrations, actually, there's going to be Hansel and Gretel at the Met, and I believe that these illustrations are going to be displayed in the lobby.
Very cool.
Next book is Greil Marcus, The History of Rock and Roll in 10 Songs. And for listeners who know anything about Greil Marcus, you know that this really isn't the history of rock and roll in 10 songs, except it is the history of rock and roll in 10 songs. At the beginning of the book, he lists every single person who was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And his point is that, you know, the history of rock and roll isn't really a chronology. In the best songs, in any true rock and roll song, the whole history is revealed. So people coming into my store, they're like, okay, so what are the 10 songs? And when you read the 10 songs, they aren't really necessarily the ones that would come to mind. So for instance, he picks a song called Transmission by Joy Division. And the thing that brings him to this song is actually a film, a 2007 film where the band Joy Division is portrayed by actors and they're singing the song Transmission, and it's riveting. And for Marcus, you know, rock and roll is what transcends. It's the nihilism. It's all these different things. And a song could be like a virus. And when the virus really takes over the artist and it's done well, it's history and rock and roll is revealed. So this is such a cool book. He links Etta James and Beyonce, Buddy Holly and the Beatles through a lesser known Buddy Holly song. It's an incredible book. And, you know, Greil Marcus is such a stylist, and it's really fun to bounce around between songs.
The History of Rock and Roll in 10 Songs, Greil Marcus.
Next, we're doing a lot of book fairs these days, and one of our favorite picture books to take around from fair to fair is Keith Richards' Gus and Me, The Story of My Granddad and My First Guitar. It's just a sweet book. You know, Keith Richards loved his granddad. He loved to walk around. His granddad walked him all over the place, introduced him to the idea of music. He was a very good musician, and it is just, I don't know, it's just really touching because he loved his grandpa, and that's what led him to his first guitar.
That's really cool.
And it includes a CD in the back.
Gus and Me by Keith Richards.
All right. Next book that I'd like to talk about is Never Can Say Goodbye, Writers on Their Unshakable Love for New York. And this is edited by Sari Bodden. And actually last year there was a similar but slightly different book called Goodbye to All That, which was writers on leaving New York.
Right.
But this is about writers loving New York. And we just did a really awesome event with this book, and we had so many fabulous writers, including Nick Flynn, Alexander Chi, Owen King, Amy Sohn, Sari, reading from this. And, you know, it's like what you would expect. Like, Owen King read a great story about this movie theater in Brooklyn, and it's the middle of the winter and it's freezing, but the movie theater's like so hot that some guy in the back rows totally stripped down to his undershorts and and you know, that's what makes it hard to leave New York. Or maybe even if you leave New York, it's always in your mind. And so this is a great book.
Never Can Say Goodbye. We had Sari on last week. Always love talking to her. And we probably have time for one, I don't know, we have a minute.
Okay, so I would love to talk about quickly a fiction book. Sometimes you love a book right away, and sometimes you're like, I'm gonna stick with this book.
Yeah,
this next book is that way for me. We Are Not Ourselves by Matthew Thomas. I really struggle. What this book is about, it's sort of about an Irish American family making the journey from Queens to Westchester, following a couple different generations, but it really centers on the main matriarchal character, who I found not so sympathetic. And I was like, am I gonna finish this book? Will I finish it? Halfway through the book, or maybe a third of the way through her book, her husband develops early onset Alzheimer's. And the descriptions of that and the care that happens on a day-to-day basis and the relationship between her husband, and their son is so amazing. And the book has so stuck with me in a way that other books don't. And it's just, it's a very, very, very good book. And it's been out for about a month or two now, but We Are Not Ourselves is a great book, and I really strongly recommend it.
Matthew Thomas.
And lastly, I'd like to just talk.
5 seconds, but go ahead.
This Saturday, 5 p.m., Woodstock Library, Michael Perkins and Friends present The Pocket Perkins. And this is going to be stories, essays, poems, all from a beloved local poet, Michael Perkins.
GoldenNotebook.com. Thanks, Jackie.